Thanks for tuning into The Record on KUOW. We've been talking about the effect of a toxic workplace on women's careers. What about the physical effects of discomfort in a professional setting?
I vividly remember turning red, and I don't often turn red, and I remember my heart pounding. I remember feeling really confused and hurt and angry.
My guest is Dr. Roberto Montenegro, resident in child and adolescent psychiatry at Seattle Children's Hospital, and he's the voice you just heard. Roberto, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. Would you please tell us the story behind that reaction we just heard?
Sure. So this was actually around the time that I defended my dissertation, and it was supposed to be quite a very happy and a joyous occasion, and one of my faculty members invited us out to dinner to celebrate. So my wife and I get dressed up in our very fancy suits that I could afford back then as a graduate student. Mm-hmm. And we go to a very posh restaurant. We enjoy the night. We exit, and we wait in line like everyone else in the restaurant to get our cars. And there's a couple of people in front of us, and we get up to the front of the valet line. And right as we're waiting, this woman pulls up in her car, exits her car, goes around the kiosk, and hands me her keys. And at that point, like I said in the clip there, I was confused. I didn't really know what was going on, but realistically, I did know. I looked like the people, like the men that were collecting the keys, like the kiosk workers. And I guess she thought I was a valet worker and handed me the keys. So I walked over, handed the keys back to the valet workers. I didn't say anything. I looked at them, they looked at me, and we sort of understood what happened.
Probably not the first time.
It's not the first time for sure. But a few minutes later, that same evening, a few minutes later, another person drives in their fancy car, gets out, and again walks straight to me and hands me their keys. Twice now in that same evening. This time, I think my face definitely spoke louder, and the woman saw my jaw practically drop open. And she took the keys back, apologized, and took them straight to the kiosk person. And this, again, was without me wearing anything that would be confusing for anyone else. And it was just a reminder of being different and being categorized and being perceived as almost not belonging in that setting. And it was quite a difficult experience given that it was such an important night. And on the way back home, I vividly remember my wife and I were in the car and we were still silent. We were really confused. I mean, here I was, a brand new PhD from a great institution, and getting confused for the valet person still. It was a tough night.
One key to your work is how you described yourself in that moment. Red face, heart pounding, physical manifestations of what was going on.
Right, and that's really what led us to the new interests that we're looking at. There's a lot of literature and research showing that persistent perceived discrimination takes its toll. It's almost like an analogy that the media had been showing around, where if an individual gets stung by one mosquito, they sort of don't react and they just pass the time. If they get stung by another mosquito, they maybe might feel it. If they start getting stung by mosquitoes over and over and over, the body starts reacting to it. They start noticing. It starts hurting. It starts having a physiological response. That's the same type of formulation that we're having with our work in terms of asking the question, what happens to your biology when you're consistently, repeatedly exposed to small, subtle slights that really impacts just your well-being in general, your sense of belonging. And these subtle slights, there are different ways of talking about these. I use the word microaggressions and microtrauma. So it really depends on the audience, really. What do you mean? Well, when you hear the microaggression, Bill, what comes to mind?
Well, the word aggression, I think that's got to be a purposeful, hostile act on the part of the actor.
Mm-hmm. And in general, the topic of microaggression connotes certain feelings to the general public, right? I'm curious, what goes through your mind when you hear microaggression besides the definition you just gave me?
Well, I would think what you talked about is a classic example, because I know enough about it to know that it's not necessarily a conscious act of aggression, but the term helps us take it that way, that you described a little slight like that, that you experienced over and over again. That's a kind of marginalization. It's a kind of othering. It's a kind of diminishment. You know, it's not just an innocent misunderstanding.
That's absolutely right. And part of the resistance that I received often, especially when I go give talks about this concept of microaggressions, is a lot of resistance from mostly white individuals. And it creates...
I've had that defensive reaction, like, wait a minute, aggression?
Yeah.
So I understand.
Yeah. And understandably so, there are different levels of accepting and having insight into your reaction when you hear someone talking about microaggression. It sort of challenges your idea of being this good person, this politically correct person, this progressive person. Really, it creates discomfort that a lot of times doesn't allow me to have this conversation with individuals. And I found that when I use microtraumas, it sort of takes agency away from individuals, and it allows for a conversation.
You're taking care of me. I'm in my fragility.
I am taking care of your fragility. It's exhausting, Bill.
Sorry about that. Thanks for doing it yet again. What do you say, Roberto, to a listener who thinks, man, we all get our feelings hurt? For your sake, you need to toughen up.
That's an excellent question. I can tell you, after writing the opinion piece where this clip and the interview first stemmed from, this opinion piece, the goal of that was really to try to introduce this concept into the medical journals. And it was published in one of the leading medical journal articles. I was very proud of that. It was the first time that the concept of microaggressions and the impacts it has on the professional and well-being of minority physicians was really brought to a discussion.
And because the medical industry is a relatively white one.
Absolutely. And it's not a concept that, again, it's not a comfortable discussion to have, especially in institutions that are predominantly white, and now not so much more predominantly male, but still within leadership institutions and people of power, like your previous speaker was talking about. Power dynamics are absolutely critical here. So in writing this piece, I was hoping to be able to talk about this. And I, for every one positive email I got in terms of, thank you for helping me identify what this concept is. I've been experiencing this as a medical student, as a resident, as a physician. I get confused for the nurse all the time. People call me a janitor, just like it's happened to me several times. I get another email saying, you need to toughen up. You're a physician. You need to make sure your feelings don't get hurt. One critical point to our work is to emphasize that microaggressions is not about getting your feelings hurt. It's about the accumulation of these continuous invalidations, alienations, insults, and just to a certain extent, alienation again, that accumulate and they build up and they continue to cause difficulties with just a feeling of belonging and being otherized, like you said.
Doctor, we've barely gotten into the topic of your work, and I want to know more about those biological effects. I want to know more what it's like for you in the medical industry and researching and being and living this at the same time. Yes. And I want to know what we can do about it. People who inflict microtraumas, people who have to deal with it. Will you come back for part two of this? Because we're up against the end of the hour, and I have a bunch more questions for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
I would look forward to that. Thank you. My guest has been Roberto Montenegro. Dr. Montenegro is an MD, PhD, and a resident in Seattle Children's Hospital Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Program. Great meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
It's The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. That's what we have time for today. Our show's put together by Amina Alsadi, Ajua Jimabrempong, Bon Huberman, Jason Pagano, Jeannie Yandel. I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for listening today.